I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Frank McGarvey shoots.
Derek Johnston.
A marvellous goal by Celtic.
Rangers pressure pays off.
The Dutton army go crazy.
Glorious goal.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years.
I'm asked to give an opinion and I like to give an honest one.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yeah, good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As we head straight towards the festive fixture list, there will be no Rangers fans at Celtic Park on December 30th, though. That's as the ticket row between the clubs takes a new turn. Philippe Clement says Rangers must get back to their marathon in the league tomorrow and gives his thoughts on Derek Adams' Scottish football criticism. And big change ahead at Motherwell, with both chairman and chief executive stepping down in the coming months. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hannah.
And after the League Cup final at Hampden on Sunday, it's back to the bread and butter of the Premiership for Rangers and Aberdeen tomorrow night, Gordon. Celtic probably wish they had a midweek fixture after that defeat to Hearts at the weekend, but they need to hang about to Saturday before they play Livingston. And it has been Old Firm ticket controversy again. Rangers say they're extremely disappointed not to get any allocation for Celtic Park at New Year. Celtic say it's all about safety, health and safety. It's all about health and safety in here as well, Gordon, you know. Dazzler, Merry Christmas.
Oh, would you look at that. A travel coffee mug so that he doesn't spill his coffee all over the desk. What a generous man you are. What does that say on it?
It says GBX hot stuff. It says GD.
GDX hot stuff. Incredible. There we go, Gordon Dalziel. A lot's happening on the football field at the moment up here.
Yeah, never a dull moment after an exciting weekend. You know, Celtic supporters calling in, you know, giving Brendan Rodgers a real hard time, questioning should he be the manager. And then we pop up on Sunday, Rangers lift their first piece of silverware, League Cup since 2011. And they're back to league business tomorrow. We've got a real festive, important time coming up, Gordon. And then the transfer window opens in January. So, a lot to talk about.
And how good did that sound? I don't know if you know, but this radio station celebrates its 50th birthday, its 50th anniversary on Hogmanay. So, with that in mind, we've decided to bring back the retro Clyde One Super Scoreboard theme tune. And it sounds magnificent, Roger Hannah.
Absolutely terrific. It takes you back to listening to the show many, many years ago, when Hugh was only in his 40s and Daz was still playing. Mark wasn't even playing. I'm not even sure you were around, Gordon, in those days. Fantastic, and I'm sure the listeners will love it over this festive season.
01419511025. That is the number you need, so let's hear from you tonight. What have you got for us? What have you got in your mind in terms of today's headlines? Here we are on episode 552 of the Old Firm ticket allocation dispute. It seems slightly different this time, if you like. There's an updated version. The SPFL kind of asked to look into it, if you like, and, well, nothing much is being done. What you need to know, in a nutshell, is that there will be no Rangers fans at Celtic Park. Celtic haven't offered any tickets for that. Rangers wanted the offer of some tickets. That has not happened, and there will be the usual infighting there, I am sure. So what do you make of it? 01419511025. Last night was extremely busy, so maybe you've still got thoughts, Rangers fans, on your first piece of silverware of the season. Philippe Clement says that was a sprint, Europe was a sprint, and tomorrow it is back to the marathon of the league. So thoughts on that, please. Celtic fans, have you calmed down any? We're giving you an extra day at a time here. Saturday was fever pitch on the phones, a bit more measured last night. How are you feeling about the current situation? We'll hear from Callum McGregor. And what about overall then? We didn't get the chance to get round to it last night because it was so busy. Derek Adams says Scottish football is rubbish. Do you agree or disagree? We'll get some managers with their opinions on it. And of course, I'm sure you will have something to offer. Just another quiet day in Scottish football, really, Roger Hannah?
Yeah, as Derek Adams might say, the football's not very good, but the stories are terrific. It's always been the way in Scottish football. It looks as if it's always going to be the way. Derek's back. I spoke to him a week past on Saturday when Ross County lost at St Mirren. It was covering the game for Super Scoreboard. It was his first defeat back with the Staggies. They'd taken 7 points from nine at home. They didn't play particularly well. I assume if you're losing 1-0 at home to Dundee, he's not played particularly well on Saturday either, and I think his emotions probably spilled over at the full-time whistle.
You think?
That's what tell what you makes that sometimes
you,
happens
what
as a manager.
What makes you say that?
He certainly came out with it, didn't he? Look, a lot of people out there that go along and pay a lot of money to watch the Scottish game now may be on his side, but when you're a manager of Ross County and you're working in the Premier League, I think it's a very, very bold statement for Derek. Yeah, we all can get caught up. We've all been there as managers. You're angry. You come out, the mic's put in front of you, the first question's there, and then you start, you know, going in a rant, and then... 6 o'clock that night, 7 o'clock that night, when you sit down and reflect on it and sit and have a cup of tea, you sometimes think, maybe that was a bad mistake.
0141 951 1025. I think the great thing about the debate, whether you agree or disagree, it kind of appeals to everyone really in Scottish football. How much of a point does Derek Adams have? How misguided was it? How over the top was it? Get your thoughts in. And like we said, today's sort of breaking news story, if you like, the big news story of today would be that ticket allocation. So to bring you up to speed on it, whilst you get your thoughts in, and please do, how do you feel, fans of both sides, maybe even interested observers, because, you know, you don't necessarily have to like either team, but I think everyone appreciates it's one of the big showpiece games in our league, and it's going through a bit of a difficult time in terms of agreeing on how many fans should be inside. So 0141 951 1025. I know some things go along team lines, team bias, if you like. That's fine, but maybe, just maybe, we'll find someone who's going against their club's stance on it. Won't necessarily hold my breath. But 0141 951 1025, that is the number you need, whether it is on that, whether it's on the weekend's football. I mean, Gordon DL, it was, you were here on Saturday, it was quite the reaction, wasn't it, from the Celtic fans?
Yeah, I thought the Celtic fans would be angry after a game, but I didn't take into consideration how angry they were, Gordon. Everyone come on calling for the manager's head. I think it's a bit early for that. It's just a disappointment of the way they're playing. But credit to Hearts. Hearts go there with a game plan and pick up the 3 points. We sort of seem to discard their performance. But Celtic have a lot of work to do, and I think it's because of, not because of the way just they're playing and some of the poor performances and the results. I think the Celtic fans, and they may kid themselves on, they're looking over their shoulder and they're seeing a manager who's come into Scottish football, hit the ground running, getting a real tune out of his players, lifted the first bit of silverware, got a great opportunity tomorrow to close that gap to 2 points with a game in hand. So as much as it's not time to panic yet for Celtic, I think there's a bit of work to be done.
Well, listen, without doubt, and, you know, I was just listening, I was at Livingston on Saturday, listening to the goals going in at Celtic Park, listening to the reaction afterwards, listening to the reaction over the weekend and last night, and there have been some Celtic supporters, and we'll have more on the show tonight, who have probably seen this coming, Daz. I would imagine, you know, they called in, even at times when the team were sort of falling over the winning line, if you like, and a lot of them were fooled into believing there was nothing wrong when they were 8 points clear or 11 points clear, I think it was, when Rangers had another game in hand. But there were Celtic fans coming on this show, and Gordon will tell you, who were not happy with the way the team was progressing, not happy with the summer recruitment, not happy with the dynamic in the team under Brendan Rodgers, and I've seen Celtic, to use Hugh's word from Saturday, sleepwalking into this problem.
Right, 0141 951 1025. Let's see what the first caller wants to bring up tonight. It is Ian in the city centre. Take it away, Ian.
Hi. I've got 2 points really. The first one's about Derek Adams. And his outburst, I think it's an absolute disgrace that what that man said. And I mean, he's he's coming out and slagging Scottish football, and he's just come up here, and he's obviously cracking under the pressure already. And I think he should be sacked for his job, and I think there should be a campaign to get rid of him, because if we want people to come and play in Scottish football, that he's no helping. He should be trying to kind of sell the game here and make people want to come to Scotland, not coming out with that kind of stuff. I think it's an absolute disgrace.
If anyone hasn't heard it, you really should. It's spectacular. The standard is shocking. If I'm a spectator, I'm thinking, is this what Scottish football's all about? It needs to up his game. Maybe people agree with bits of that, but went further to say that he's just left a Morecambe team in League 2 and they are 100 times better than his Ross County team currently. Is Ian right? Is that a sackable offence?
No. I thought it was terrific from Derek Arnold. I'm a media man. That helps the airwaves, it helps the newspapers, it's great, people want to listen to it, people want to read it, and people want to have their own opinion about it. Derek, I think, was, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, was forming an opinion based on his five games back in Scotland. And he said the standard from his two previous spells as Ross County manager and his time as a player with Motherwell and with other clubs up here, he didn't think what he had seen in these last five games was anywhere like good enough.
I think you're making it sound way more measured than it actually was.
But what I will say is, he hasn't taken to his opinion. Two things, if I was him, that I wouldn't have said. One, the quote you mentioned there about, you know, if I was paying to come in, I wouldn't come and pay to watch this. But he's chairman Roy McGregor's trying to sell season tickets and entice people in the door.
There's the point then.
And the other one about his own players. But maybe that was a measured pop at his own players, who have just lost to St Mirren and Dundee without scoring a goal.
That cannot be described as measured. What bit was measured about that? It was a sledgehammer.
He did it. If you look, and you'll know how these things work, Gordon. He went in and spoke to the BBC in one room, came out and said it, and then went through to a different room at the stadium and came out with the same spiel to the written newspaper. I think a lot of that Derek knew what he was saying and intended to say it.
Ian?
Yeah, no, Roger, I think I understand that you're a journalist and you love this kind of thing, but for people that want to talk up Scottish football, and I know Radio Clyde's brilliant at it, they always want to talk the game up, but you can't have a manager in the Premier League down in our game like that. What do other people, does it say to other people outside this country that that's the kind of standard that we've got and what the money? I mean, I can understand if he's want to get his own players, but there's a way of doing it, and there's a line in the sand, and he totally crossed that line in the sand. I mean, if he wants to say that in the dressing room to them, fine, that's fine, but don't come out and say it and make our game a laughing stock.
Do you think there are people, Ian, do you think there are people who think he's right? Because there are Celtic supporters phone into this show to say this Celtic team is not as good as previous Celtic teams. There are Rangers fans phone in and say this Rangers team isn't as good as previous Rangers team.
You're still making it sound like it was way more measured than it actually was, though. See if it had been, do you know what, I've had, or even a pre-match press conference, I've been having a think about it. I just don't think the standard of the league is quite what it was last time
you,
I was
to
here.
You discussing it on Saturday night. I had just left Livingston 0, Kilmarnock 0, and let me tell you, that wasn't a repeat of the 1970 World Cup.
I think he's put himself on borderline. That could be a sackable offence. There's no doubt. Now, I'll go back to, and I'm sort of picking up what Roger's saying. The standard, what I've watched over the last 4 or 5 months, is a very good, entertaining football. It's not. You look at the bottom six now, out of the last 30 games, there's only been 7 wins. Motherwell have picked up 5 points in 42. We watched a cup final. I know that cup finals are completely different. It's all about getting silverware. And I think even Rangers fans would admit the standard in the first half was terrible. Now, I know where Derek's coming from, right? Now, you can be in either camp. You can say, do you know what? If you're an out-of-work manager and you were up here and you just left Morecambe and you made a comment about Scottish football, fine. You agree or disagree. But when you are employed with a club, and Roger picked up on it, and you're trying to entice people into your ground, you have got to be careful what you say.
Or January signings. Listen, it's Derek Adams here. Would you like to come to Ross County? Derek, I thought you said the league was rubbish. Why would I come there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think he puts himself into a bad position if he's employed with a club. Now, if he comes up here, Derek Adams, experienced manager, he's out of job, he's not involved, and he turns around and says that, you've got a choice. You either turn around and say, I agree with that or I disagree. But when you say that they're gone, if you're picking up the phone trying to get guys up from, say, for instance, Morecambe or wherever to make your team better.
You've just said this to me 100 times. Why would I come and sign for you?
Gordon, have you met footballers? The footballers, you say, I know, how much you're paying? Oh, you're paying that, right?
Honestly, Roger, I can't believe how simplistic a view of this you're taking. Say they've got two offers on the table then that are of similar money. They ain't coming to play for a team that the manager thinks are 100 times worse than a team at the bottom of the league too.
I genuinely don't think footballers think that.
If it's the same money on offer,
I think
would you come to Dingwall? With no offence, it's a lovely place, but you're from the English lower leagues. You're coming to play for a manager if you've got a similar financial offer.
This man wouldn't think twice about it.
I said a similar financial offer though.
I like Morecambe. Nice one.
listen, managers, they adopt different tactics. Some like,
you can say that again.
Some like to give the players a wee cuddle. Some like to give them a boot up the backside. Right. That was the ultimate boot up the backside.
Well, it was more than that, because you mentioned your opening comment was, you know, newspaper man and you like it all. Let me ask you this then. Of all the comments you've ever heard from a manager, genuinely, have you ever heard a manager say that his previous team was much better than the one he's arrived at? It's a simple yes or no.
No.
What does that tell you?
It tells me that Morecambe are better than Ross County. 1-5-0 at the weekend, you know.
How did he get on in his last couple of games before he left for Ross County?
Not quite sure.
Derek Adams must be sitting there regretting that. There's no doubt.
Not according to Roger Hannah, he's not.
No, I think Derek will be sitting looking at this situation and saying, do you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have been as strong with my words. He's got every entitlement to think it and look at the standard.
100%, because what we also shouldn't do is blind promotion and say it's brilliant and no one can tell us any different. That's as damaging, clearly. Mm-hmm. But there is a line and there's a consequence to the things that you say
I'm with the caller. I think Derek's just put his big toe over that line. I think he's stepped over it a little bit. I think that his chairman, Roy McGregor, would probably have sat down and had a good chat with him. And I do believe, and Derek's up there and, you know, he was welcomed back and he's up there to do a job for Ross County. I think he'll look back in that in the last couple of days and think, yeah, I maybe should have,
Ian, let's dig a bit deeper though. Is there a point there, if you were to take a lot of the really emotional stuff out of it and strip it back, like Roger's talking about, is the standard of the top flight as good as it could be at the moment?
No, it's not as good as it could be. But it's not anywhere near as bad as what he's making it. I mean, I don't know. I don't watch Morecambe, to be honest with you. I watch the English Premier League. I watch the highlights. And I've seen, even at the weekend, like Sunday, like Liverpool and Man United, I think, were playing. In the first half, I mean, it was dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful. You get bad games in the English Premiership, and it's the best league in the world, let's not be kidded, but you still get some shockers in there as well, and they go to Europe, richest team in the world, Newcastle, and they can't compete in Europe and stuff. I mean, football can always be better, and I wish the standard up here was of a higher calibre, but there's no way a man employed in Scottish football like that should be coming out. And I mean, what would you, if you were a player in that dressing room, how could you work for him, if that's what he thinks of you? I mean, how are you supposed to get yourself up? And I mean, if you look at Clement, he's done the exact opposite. He's come in and filled Rangers with confidence and an ability that they can go out and they can win matches and they can win cups and they can do something if they've got the right frame of mind. He's come out and just destroyed that whole dressing room.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. Thank you very much to Ian. Philippe Clement was asked about it today. He doesn't agree, but he does feel that not enough has been done to give young players a chance in Scotland.
I don't like this bold sentences after a disappointment and then compare everything and throw everything in one bag. I think there were already interesting things in Europe from Scottish teams. No, the league until now is what I expected from the league. It's really comparable with the Belgian league. For the moment, I don't think that enough young Scottish players are given chances because of all the pressure on the study to stay in the first league. And can be an interesting one for the future, I think.
Is that valid? I mean, without going too far into should we reconstruct the league and all that stuff, we'll end up spending 6 hours on that. Is there too much pressure on the teams in the top flight to just stay up and survive? Because is that the way the majority of them...
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree what he says there about... And he's an experienced manager. And, you know, being a manager at a very, very good level, it's won trophies and he came to Scotland, won the first one. When he says that he understands and that maybe the manager shouldn't come out after a defeat and say the things that Derek Adams says. Now, I'll go back to it going, we've all said silly things on a Saturday after a game at Bakke Five, and you look back over a weekend, you regret it dreadfully.
As Roger says, though, he's got to repeat it a couple of times.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
But I think when the dust settles, and it'll be interesting to see the response he gets from his players next game. But getting back to the Rangers manager's point of view, I would love to see young Scottish players getting a chance. I love it. I love seeing that. I love seeing, you know, like, say, Lennon Miller and all these boys at Motherwell and coming through and getting on to bigger and better things and being a good success in Scottish football. But you've got to earn it, right? You've got to be good enough to get in the team.
Yeah, but I think that's the point. Is there the breathing space for it, though?
You signed John Burridge at 42, yeah.
Yeah, and alone.
I just
needed some experience.
I just wanted to check.
Yeah, but I played the youngest cup final team in the history of Scottish football.
How'd it end again? That's fine.
3-0.
Can I just say, he's just made that statistic up on the that very thing. He had Brian McLaughlin and James Grady up front. It was the shortest Scottish Cup team.
Roscoe says, if Derek Adams brings in a few more Morecambe players in the January window, can we expect him to make the top six? It's a good question. They are 100 times better after all. Roscoe, we will take a breather. If you want to add your thoughts to that, you can. You want to talk ticket allocations, let's hear it. Whatever you fancy, we'll get you on next.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. For 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Diel are here at 01419511025. Or you can tweet us your festive greetings over there at Clyde SSB. No coffee for you, Gordon Diel. I'm still getting abuse and comments for your disaster last week, so we're good.
Yeah, I feel that it's been, you know, too much highlighted about it.
Do you think so?
It was a wee accident.
I think it was spectacular.
You know, we all make accidents. Roger, it's the festive.
It's a terror in Andy Halliday's eyes.
Oh, he's just seen
Halliday. Right, let's bring in Mark, who's on the line. How's it going, Mark?
How we doing, lads? All right?
Hey, Mark, are you the sort of spy in the camp for us? I understand, although you sound like one of us, you actually live near Morecambe, is that right?
I'm the voice of all reason.
Go on, then.
So, basically, I'm a Ranger supporter, but I've moved into Barrow and Furness about 15 years ago. I used to work in the shipyards in Govan, so I moved in here to build the old nuclear submarines. And I was wanting to say about the Derek Adams point there about the Morecambe being 100 times better. Don't get me wrong. Morecambe have got a cracking set-up down here. They're in the same league as Barrow. Barrow sitting second in the Division 2. They've got a brilliant setup. My daughter actually plays for Morecambe under 15s. But I don't think they would hold their own in the Scottish League. Maybe they bought them 6, aye. But as I say, the setup, the kids' football and that down here is just second to none. Under 5s, right up to the under 18s and right into the women's football, along with the boys as well. So I don't think Morecambe would be a great, is what he's saying, 100 times, maybe 10 times better. I think he wants County a good game, they'll give me an eye.
Well, that's the point. That's why we're kind of talking about the scale here. Mm. Even if you want to say give a good game, that is a million miles, since Derek Adams can exaggerate with these numbers, I'll do it as well.
Yeah.
Away from 100 times better.
You know what his biggest mistake was? Bringing Morecambe into it.
That's what I'm saying. That's the bit I've genuinely, and it's not, it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. Of all the kind of mad heat of the moment things I've heard managers say, yeah, I've never heard a manager say that his previous team was much better than his current one.
Yeah, it was astonishing. And if you're a player, and I've been a player sitting in that dressing room, and you're listening to your manager, let me tell you, players, they get in cliques and they start talking, and you know, it doesn't go too well. And if all of a sudden there's a bad run of results, you know who's going to suffer? The manager will suffer right away. There's no doubt about that. People will then throw back at Derek, well, could Morecambe go and achieve what Rangers, Celtic and Aberdeen achieved in Europe last week with the terrific results? I think the biggest problem was, you know, associating what he thought the standard wasn't at the level what he thought it should be to his own club.
I think timing is an issue there, Roger, as well. You know, mentioned the sort of strength of the comment, but it was after a game that he lost against Dundee, said his team were the better side when they weren't, and it did come at the end of a week where there were three European wins. Now, I know that two of them were dead rubbers and all that stuff, but it just felt like if you were to try and pick the right moment, I just don't know if that was it either. That's before we even get to the strength of the stuff.
Yeah, listen, you're possibly right, and they're now at home to Hibernian on Saturday. It'll be fascinating to see the reaction he gets from his players, whether those post-match remarks after the Dundee game backfire spectacularly and his players down tools for him, or whether there is a degree of motivation for those Ross County players in the comments from the manager.
Is there a bit of truth in there that, you know, that the Scottish football need to be a bit concerned maybe about the standard at the moment? Is it the way he's gone about it or what?
Don't get me wrong, right? I always follow Scottish football all the time, even when I'm down here. But don't even hear in the second divisions, they're bringing all these kids through all the time. You know what I mean? As we were talking then about, do they go and climb on to say, do they go and let the young players come through? As I say, my daughter plays for Morecambe, and the amount of kids that are in this setup is unbelievable. I never experienced. I used to play football myself when I was up there in Glasgow, but I'm a bit younger than the Dazzler, but we never get the opportunities back there, back in the 70s and 80s, that the kids are getting down here now. It's unbelievable. I just don't know if that's the same for the kids up in Scotland.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think there's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of...
I feel like it's separate from what Derek Adams is saying.
I'll even go down the league. You look at clubs like Hamilton Accies, great tradition of bringing young players in, promoting them, you know, going to a higher level, giving them the opportunity. I know what Mark's saying about the facilities and everything down there, because I've been down in England about and had a look at one or two. But I think our clubs are, you know, the youth setups, especially in the top leagues, are very, very good.
Okay, thank you to Mark on 01419511025. I think Chris in Govan wants to shift focus a bit. Chris, take it away.
Yeah, as I say, it's all about this, the news today that there'll be no Rangers fans at the next Celtic Rangers game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand Rangers' frustration, because the point is, when we were at Ibrox at the start of the season, Rangers offered us tickets and we refused them. So that's not a Rangers issue. They said, here's tickets, and we refused them. It's exactly the same tonight, for example. Now, I'm sorry if I have a pop at Gordon DL here, right?
No, it's encouraged.
If you offered Gordon DL the answers to beat the pundit tonight, and he refuses to take the answers, then he loses to beat the pundit. That's his issue. He was offered the answers, and he refused to take them. If Rangers, we should be giving every club in Scotland a 5% or 10%, whatever the rules are, of our way allocation. It's just, there's nothing better as a football fan than being at a game and, you know, you can give abuse to the away fans, they're giving you it back. Do you know what I mean? It makes the game better, makes the aesthetics better, the players, the fans watching TV, people watching around the world.
So let me get this straight, Chris. On today's development, if you like, you're a Celtic fan, but you're actually annoyed that Celtic haven't offered the tickets.
Yes, because this is the point. I've been one of those. I want to go back to the way it was. We get the full Broomlin. We give, because I think the first game that happened at Celtic Park was the 3-0, the February game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and it's not as good as when there's fans there and you can give abuse, they give you it back, they're booing you, you're booing them, you know what I mean? It's better for the fans, it's better for the media, it's better for everybody. I don't see what this issue is.
Right, let's try and unpick this latest development, Roger, because it's slightly different this time, I think, in that, it is, as Chris says, it's the first time that there's been no offer of tickets, yeah? I mean, we've seen these games before, the last one obviously,
yeah.
But there was an offer there that was rejected. So Chris wanted Celtic to just do the same, offer Rangers the tickets, and then, I don't know if that is considered being the bigger man or whatever. Rangers have said they're extremely disappointed at being refused the allocation. They released a statement earlier saying that they have won a case put to an SPFL board subcommittee, but still won't have any supporters. They say that the subcommittee agreed with Rangers that Celtic's stance of providing zero tickets was unreasonable. But despite the fact that the subcommittee agreed with Rangers, the subcommittee was unwilling to determine what a reasonable number, because that's the rule, there is no percentage, and what a reasonable number of tickets for the fixture would be. So this is the first time that the SPFL, I think, have kind of got involved, if you like, yeah. or have they?
Well, look, there's loads of points in this. Chris is absolutely correct. The fixture is far better, or was far better, when Celtic came to Ibrox and got the Broomlin Road stand.
Yeah, that's that.
And
bit
Rangers,
from the outside,
Rangers
isn't
went
it?
Yep. To Celtic Park and got that allocation of 6,000 or 7,000, whatever it was, away up in the right hand side, Gordon. That was when the game was at its best. All the points Chris makes are correct. Now, Celtic will say they were offered 700 for that little corner at Ibrox and didn't want to take the 700 for safety reasons and concerns over the safety and well-being of the supporters. That's completely up to Celtic. Celtic then take the decision that if they're not taking the tickets, they will not offer the tickets reciprocally to Rangers for the games at Celtic Park. Rangers were unhappy and they went to the SPFL. I think it's Rule I-27, Narayda's?
Yeah, uh-huh. I-27.
And if the clubs can't agree 14 days prior to the game being played, then the SPFL's rules say the SPFL intervenes and they decide what is a reasonable number of tickets. Except the reality of it is, if you phone the SPFL and ask them for tea or coffee, they'll have to phone a friend to make a decision. There's never a likelihood that they would say, yes, Celtic, you've got to give Rangers 2,000 or 3,500 or 5,000, because Celtic wouldn't be happy. And there was never a chance of them saying, right, Rangers, you're getting 200 tickets, because Rangers wouldn't be happy. And the SPFL don't want to offend Celtic and they don't want to offend Rangers. So they have sat on the fence, and they haven't been able to back up their own role today. Rangers aren't happy about it. In all honesty, I don't think Celtic are happy either, because Celtic would like to go back to the days that Chris is talking about, where they got a full Broomlin Road stand. So there's not a great relationship between the hierarchy of the two clubs, and the SPFL won't do anything to sort this issue out.
Is that now the most concerning thing, Gordon? If we sort of... We knew this was coming to the point of, you know, the clubs can't agree on ticket allocations. Fine. Where is the league body? Where are the people that run the game that are going to step in and,
I think that's a baffling,
and sort this out?
Yeah, that's a baffling thing. If you run the league, you have got to sort out. A big decision has got to be made. Will it please both clubs? Probably won't, Gordon. But that's what you're there for. You're there to lead the league. You're there to represent the clubs as well. I think Chris on the line makes some great points. I think if Celtic were offered the tickets at Ibrox and declined them, which is perfectly within their right, I think that Rangers should have the same opportunity. It's such a mess because it's the biggest, and especially coming up to 30th of December, this will be now spoken about all the way up with excitement. And I know there's still other games to play, But everybody wants to be there. Everybody wants a ticket for it. I feel for the supporters. I think that it's the supporters once again that suffer.
Thank you to Chris. What do you think? 01419511025. Get your calls in whilst I tell you about this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
It is getting very, very close indeed. This time next week it'll be all over. Gordon Dalziel, I was going to say, will have his Christmas tree down, but he doesn't put one up in the first place.
No.
So that doesn't really work. I, like everybody else, last couple of days running around crazy, trying to buy presents, and it shouldn't really be lost on us that for so many children in our communities right here on our doorstep, it is nowhere near the time of fun, family and joy that many of us do experience. So we're trying to make a bit of a difference here with Mission Christmas at Cash for Kids, just making sure these children have the basics: food, heating, electricity, maybe a small gift. And right now at Clyde1.com you can help by getting involved in our silent auction. And the thing is, you don't even need to pretend this is a selfless act, because you'll get some brilliant prizes back for your bids. It is such a long list of prizes we've got on there, not even all football. Maybe you could get yourself a wee Christmas gift for someone on there. But in terms of some of the football highlights, there's a signed Scotland home top. Remember, that's the Scotland squad that's maybe going to win the Euros next summer, who knows. There are two hospitality tickets for Rangers Club 72. You can be a horse racing owner for a day at Hamilton Racecourse. There's a Billy McNeil signed 1967 print. Some stunning items on there. So go to Clyde1.com and you can help Cash for Kids and maybe even pick up a Christmas present or two.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
951-1025. Great, the mics are turned on now. Happy days. Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna are here. I don't actually think your mic is turned on by the looks of it. Let me hear you.
Testing one.
Nah, sound terrible. Let's see if we can speak to Danny, who's a Rangers fan, whilst we clear that up. Danny, how are you?
I'm all right, you?
Not bad. What's your point tonight?
I've got a couple of points. So, first of all, you've got Celtic fans are refusing, well, Celtic are refusing to offer Rangers fans away tickets, which is obviously breaching the SPFL rules. So the match should be taken out of their hands altogether, and the New Year Old Firm should be played at a neutral venue where they have no say in the ticket allocation. My second point is Celtic fans can't even bring themselves to call it the Old Firm, despite the board renewing the brand rights, and they can't bring themselves to admit that Rangers are still the same old club that they love to hate. So why should they be treated any differently than any other set of away fans that come to Ibrox and get a full stand at Ibrox instead of just being stuck in the corner that away fans usually are?
Danny, see if you think that's a can of worms I'm willing to open a couple of days before Christmas. You are sorely mistaken. Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna have just run out of the studio. If we can keep it about the tickets for my own sanity, if you don't mind. Danny says, you know, about breaching the SPFL's rules, which I guess, I mean, technically is the case, or is it? Well, this is the point, Roger. This would be easier to sort of navigate through if the SPFL would take some sort of stance on it.
Yeah, there is a potential resolution there when you look at Rule I-27. If the clubs can't agree, and in this instance the clubs can't agree, then the rule is perfectly simple, that the SPFL will make a decision 14 days prior to the game on what is a reasonable number of tickets to be given to the away team. The rule's there in black and white. Now, if Celtic were going to Livingston or Rangers were going to Motherwell and we had this dispute, I'll bet you the SPFL would make a decision on what was a reasonable number of tickets for Rangers and Celtic to get. But when it's Rangers going to Celtic Park or Celtic going to Ibrox, the SPFL won't want to make a decision because they won't want to offend one of the big guns. And you need to remember that the people in the executive at the SPFL are employees of the league, and the league is run by the clubs. So they're effectively employees of the clubs. They won't want to make a decision that offends one of the Rangers or Celtic.
No, yeah, do you know what? Because by my nature, I sometimes think random hypotheticals don't serve us much purpose, but hard to disagree with that, Gordon. You really wonder, as Roger says, if this was a dispute about Rangers going to Fir Park, it feels like the SPFL. And by the way, Neil Doncaster or anyone else, if you think we're being unfair and you think that's not the case, by all means, call us. It feels like they would just step in and say, no, that's how many tickets
for,
you're getting.
For me, that's why they've got to step up and show leadership, Gordon. Roger's right. You're going to please one club and obviously not please the other. But they're big decisions. That's what you're there for. Roger read out the rule. It's up to the SPFL to basically put their chest out there and make strong decisions and lead our football game. As I say, if it was for Rangers, Celtic's not going to be happy, vice versa. But in my opinion, fans from from the away team should always get an opportunity to see their team.
My worry as well is that the two sides are now so entrenched in their own views, I can't see how this is going to resolve itself anytime soon. I would love to get back to the days where Celtic at the full Brumlin Road, where Rangers had that big section away to the right-hand side. Look at Kenny Miller. I'm just thinking back to some, you know, great days in the past for the two teams. Remember Kenny Miller scoring twice? Was it a 4-2 game at Celtic Park, wheeling back round and celebrating in front of the Rangers fans? You remember on numerous occasions, you know, Celtic players scoring in front of the Brumlin Road and going behind the goal and celebrating with the Celtic fans. I think there was a League Cup final in the 90s where there was a Raith Rovers striker celebrated in front of the Celtic
never
fans.
Never seen that one.
The Brumlin Road, I think, if you go back. But having big allocations of away fans, reasonable allocations of away fans, enhances the fixture. You know, for the neutrals, for anyone watching in television, for people watching out with the country, it enhances the spectacle of one of the world's great fixtures.
The thing is, Danny, this is nothing new. We've been down this road before, and you know fine well, Celtic fans listening to this will say, Danny, your club started this. You couldn't take it when we used to come and win convincingly. You've heard all those arguments. What do you make of that?
Part of my problem is, like, Celtic always got a full stand behind the Rangers goal, which I think offers an advantage, whereas Rangers fans always get stuck up in the corner at Celtic Park. I think that's part of the whole problem with the whole situation to begin with. I think Celtic should offer Rangers a full stand behind their goal, and Celtic should get a full stand behind Rangers' goal at Ibrox. That's the way it should be, I think.
Asking back to the old days. Asking back to the old days when I was very fortunate to play in these fixtures, Gordon. And I've got to say, I don't care. I know football's moved on, supporters. I agree with both clubs because I do think that Celtic going to Ibrox should get the Brumlin stand. And I think Danny makes good points here about the Rangers are stuck up in the corner. It makes such a difference. Any player will tell you.
It's also quite a big corner. I get an element of it. So I always feel with this, Roger, that there will be like little bits of truth all over the place and invalid and then intertwined in all that. Both clubs quite willing to hide behind those things. So Celtic have spoken about safety concerns, which I'm sure is completely valid. I'm not saying that that's not. And Rangers fans like Danny say, but we don't even like that. We don't like where the allocation is there. It feels like there'll be little bits of truth in all of that. But the thing that does underpin it all really is an unwillingness to sort of work together, really, isn't it?
100%. A complete unwillingness of the two clubs to work.
Because what it allows you to do, and I know I'm being very general here, is it allows Danny to say, well, I don't want to go back to that because we don't like that allocation, and Celtic will say, well, we don't feel safe there. So end the story. Listen, it just feels like it goes on and on.
They're also easy decisions for the clubs individually to make, because it's not as if Rangers don't give the Brumlin Road stand to Celtic, it's not as if the seats are going to lie empty. They'll sell them to Rangers fans who otherwise wouldn't have
got the
tickets.
So the horse is bolted then.
So, you know, those Rangers fans are delighted to buy the tickets, so Rangers aren't any worse off. And then, you know, the mirror of that is at Celtic, where that big section is sold to Celtic fans who otherwise wouldn't have been able to get a ticket for the fixture because they would have gone to Rangers supporters. So the clubs financially are no worse off. In fact, they're probably getting a bit more kudos from their own supporters because they're selling more tickets to their own supporters. So now that this horse is bolted, you do wonder if you'll ever get back to where it was before.
I've been fear of losing probably one of the greatest fixtures out, Gordon. And I know it's Scotland and other European countries and you talk about, but anyone that's been involved in it, anyone that's played in it will tell you it's the greatest fixture they'll have played in. Yeah. And it's made because of the supporters. It's as simple as that for me. And I think we're getting into now a situation where we could lose that. And I think if we lose it,
the current generation of players prefer cup semi-finals and finals at Hampden, where there's a 50-50 between the two.
Like I said, Celtic issued their statement. They speak about the recent serious safety and match day issues which fans have experienced. They said their position has been really clear. They welcome the opportunity to seek to resolve these issues, which is funny because Rangers also say they're willing to resolve these issues. Do you see what I mean? It feels like that. If there are safety concerns, that is valid and it must be dealt with. Can it all become a bit more, I don't know, transparent then to actually see if progress has been made?
You would love to think it could. Maybe the cynic in me doesn't think it can because the clubs are so entrenched in their own positions. You know, Celtic won the Broomlin Road Stand. Rangers don't want to give them the Broomlin Road Stand. Rangers want to give them the 700 in the corner and take 700 at Celtic Park, which is completely different from Celtic's preference. And I just don't see where the middle ground is, Gordon.
Okay, let's pause for a moment of light entertainment.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
First for football, for 50 years, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL, forgot your name there, are here on 01419511025. And we are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB.
Can you believe producer John's got him a coffee?
I've only got one, I'm fine.
That paper cup again, after last week. He's asking for trouble. Right before the news, we were getting right into the age-old debate about ticket allocations. If you want to keep your thoughts coming, you can do. Please do. We did kick off the show with a bit of a look at whether Scottish football is as rubbish as Derek Adams says. So again, any thoughts there, bring them on. And maybe Celtic fans, Rangers fans, a bit more of a reflection on the weekend if you want. How are you feeling now? 01419511025. But first, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Your old pal Mark Wilson even won last night. That's how bad it's getting.
The big hitters are out tonight, aren't they?
You're on a terrible run.
I won
run.
Thursday, mate.
What's that? That's the first in a while, no?
First in two,
great. Yeah. Roger Hanna still unbeaten for a long time.
Are you unbeaten? What even minus one?
What are we starting them on? Minus
three. That's
ridiculous,
mate.
Minus one.
Okay, let's play tonight then. One of you will take on Christopher from Ayrshire. How's it going, Christopher?
Very well.
Oh, Christopher, come on. Take on Dazzler or Roger?
Who would you rather play, Christopher?
I'd rather play Roger.
This is a stitch up. This sounds like someone putting on a voice. Give me your real voice, whoever you are.
Sorry?
Just give me the real voice, that's fine. I don't mind whoever it is. Just let's go real voice.
Well, I can't make up my voice, so I'd rather just play Roger.
Oh. I think that sounds familiar. But anyway, like, we'll just need to, I don't know. Anyway, heads it is. Roger Hanna, tails, it's Gordon DL. I'm really confused about this. There we are. What does that say, Roger Hanna?
Oh, that's a head.
It is a head.
Oh, come on, Christopher, whoever you are.
Christopher, you know he starts on minus one, though. You happy with that?
I'll start him in minus three.
That's Santa Claus. Right, he's the same size as him.
Let's give Roger Hanna some greatest hits radio to listen to, some Christmas tunes. We'll turn it up nice and loud so it's just Christopher and I. Right, Christopher, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and you can pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No problem.
Right, your 30 seconds is on the clock. Your time starts now. Name any of the other Scottish Premiership clubs Lauren Shankland has played for.
St Mirren.
Who was the last Scot to play for Barcelona?
Steve Archibald.
How many B teams are currently in the Lowland League?
Oh, two.
Who was Dujon Sterling on loan at last season?
Stoke City.
What's the nickname of Queen of the South?
The Dunhamers.
Who was the last Scottish goalkeeper to play for Man United?
Oh, Andy Gorham.
Okay. What is going on here? This is like,
we're still in music.
Oh, are you back? You come back to me yet? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Well, Santa Claus on the line was decent.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. By the way, didn't he need padding when they were sounding him?
But Madonna for the boys there.
Right, you ready, Roger? Yeah. Hannah. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name any of the other Scottish Premiership clubs that Lawrence Shankland has played for.
Aberdeen.
Who was the last Scot to play for Barcelona?
Archibald.
How many B teams are currently in the Lowland League?
Two.
Who was Dujon Sterling on loan at last season?
Stoke.
What is the nickname of Queen of the South?
The Dunhamers.
Who was the last Scottish goalkeeper to play for Man United?
Andy Gorham.
And Ryan Gold currently plays for which club team?
Vancouver Whitecaps.
Okay.
This will be close.
Now here's the thing, Christopher. He was a bit quicker than you. You don't sound like you've got the same turn of pace as Roger Hannah. So you did get one more question in. Do you think you've done enough?
I've done enough.
Oh my goodness. He was. Christopher was a bit slow.
So you're on minus one though, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm getting more hair than him.
I'll tell you what, that's debatable.
I cannot argue with that, Christopher.
Let's get a 50-50 with that
Christopher's
one.
Christopher's voice changed a bit there. Anyway, right.
Well, he's been to Turkey, you've known.
Name any of the other Scottish Premiership clubs Lawrence Shankland played for. You both got it. Aberdeen or St Mirren. Who was the last Scot to play for Barcelona? You both got it. Steve Archibald. You both knew that Celtic and Hearts, the two teams in the Lowland League. You both knew Dujon Sterling on loan at Stoke. This is like the best game of all time. You both knew that the Dunhamers is Queen of the South.
Not QOS.
Not QOS. No. And you both knew that Andy Gorham was the last goalkeeper.
Oh, who got the last question?
But Roger got one more question, but he does start on minus one.
Oh, so it's an equaliser.
So Roger needs this to equalise.
I've got it right.
Ryan Gold currently plays for Vancouver Whitecaps. So it's an equaliser, Christopher, which means we're going to the tiebreaker. Are you familiar with the concept?
Yes.
Right, okay. I'm gonna ask the
we need to get Christopher's number here.
I've got his number, I can see it.
Number nine.
I'm gonna ask the question. I'll get Roger to write his answer down. I'll then get Christopher to give me his attempt. So the question is this: how many caps do Scotland's five most capped players have between them? Roger Hannah, I'm not giving you time to count it up. No, hurry up, Roger Hannah. No. Hurry up, quick. How many caps? Quick, write it down, Roger Hannah. Write it down.
425, he says.
Right, okay, quick, write it down.
Lock it in, 425. You got it.
Right, okay, Christopher, what are we going for?
He's Googling.
426.
Oh, he's just trying to do you. He's just trying to go one more. He's
trying to go one more. That's clever. That guy should be on the telly.
Oh, the number of caps: Dalgleish 102, uh-huh. Leighton 91, Fletcher 80, McLeish 77, McStay 76. Roger Hannah, you know what's coming here, don't you?
He's done me.
It's 426. Christopher has got it on the nose.
My God.
Because you gave it away. You showed your hand. You showed your answer.
Oh my God. Well done, Christopher.
Well done, Christopher.
Enjoy your night, guys.
Now you need to tell us your real name, because I'm not having this.
Martin Miller.
No, come on, seriously. You've got 10 seconds. Come on, you've obviously stitched us up, so just give us the real name, then we can be on our way.
Kenny Keegan.
Have you ever played sport?
Third time lucky. Let's do a who am I? Let's do it.
Roger.
Let's do a who am I or a guess who.
For liposuction.
Gordon, I would back out when you're behind.
No. Have you ever played for Rangers?
No, that's debatable.
Come on, let's do a guess who. Come on, because I know who this is. Have you ever played for Rangers? So yes or no?
Never.
Have you ever played for Rangers, Kilmarnock, Middlesbrough,
and a
Scotland,
pie.
Portland Timbers, etc., etc.?
I played for a couple of those teams, but a few would debate that.
It's got to be. It's not Christopher. That's Chris with a K.
Yeah, and B with a Boyd.
It's Chris with a K.
And be with a boy.
More hair than Roger Hanna.
I cannot believe I've given it. There's no way in God's earth he would have got 4-2-6.
Roger, you've got to put your hands up. You've never been beat, but you've been beat tonight, my friend.
Chris Boyd from Ayrshire.
I cannot believe that. I'll never hear the end of this.
Out on the Sky Sports Christmas night out is.
How was that for you, my friend?
Brilliant.
Did you like that, Dazzler?
Chris, you would never have got that boy, would you?
By the way, true striker, you just banged out of the net. That was it. Finished. He's finished, mate. He's finished.
By the way, everybody, it's overrated. It's nothing to do with pace.
it's intelligence. Boyd, it's all about intelligence, mate.
Correct. And that's why I've got none of it. Exact same as you, Taz.
We'll leave it there before we regret this call. Thank you very much to Chris Boyd from Ayrshire, somewhere in Glasgow. You're never living that down.
How can you get beat with him?
Because I've given him the answer, that's how.
Because you're meant to write it down. He panicked and he said it.
I said the answer, so he's just gone one more than
so
me.
Like any, so like any good
but
striker.
But he's dead on.
No, but he didn't know he was dead on. He just went one more than me. So if it was,
but yeah, to be fair, he also got every question right.
I know.
Flying.
I tell you what, that boy's worth his money.
So Gordon knows he's in the Sky Sports night. And Chris knows the answers to the questions. No, and they're working together.
Do you think?
No, I don't for a minute. I can't believe you're suggesting
I'd
that.
I'd stitch him up. I wouldn't stitch you up.
I can't believe you're suggesting that.
That's ridiculous.
Nah, I'd stitch him up. No, do you know what I think might have happened though?
Go for it.
Who else might be there? I'm thinking.
Who's clever?
I'm thinking the old striking act back together. It's Kenny Miller there.
Gordon knows who's all there, you see.
Boy, they.
Oh, aye.
They'll get them all right, so like Wilson can't be there.
Is he whipping them in?
Faddy's very, very good.
Is he, like, laying them off?
Yeah. By the way, that could have been a good trio. Roger, that's it. The record's gone, mate. Imagine getting beaten.
I must be the first guy ever to be beaten by getting every question right.
I know, exactly. There we go.
I'll tell you what, I hope Chris Sutton doesn't come on Thursday.
Look, this was just a ceremonial fun beat the pundit, I'm sure. Does it go on his record? I think it probably still does.
Did we take the ball to him?
Oh, he's not getting a signed ball. Joking.
No. He's got plenty all the hat tricks, but he's not got one signed from us.
He'd never be able to trap it.
You're just confident he's not listening anymore. Anyway, it sounded like he was enjoying his day.
Tell you what, put a good
voice on there.
This is my wife now texting to say, how did Beat the Pundit go? this is a ruse. This whole thing's a ruse.
What was that? 7 each or something?
They're all at it. I'm switching my phone off. That's it. Good night.
Anyway, 01419511025. Right, let's get back to the serious stuff. What a contrast this is going to be, the hilarity of Beat the Pundit to the most serious of topics on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which is always the ticket allocations. James is in Clydebank. What do you think?
All right, guys, how are you doing?
It's
actually a bit poignant. I'm like talking about this point, actually, because you'll probably remember the Old Firm Golden Goal competition a couple of years ago.
Right.
A few years ago, actually. I was the guy that actually won it. So,
superb.
Right, so I got to the last ever two games at Ibrox where the full allocations were there, right?
You're well placed.
I want to bring Scottish football as a whole. And we see, when I say as a whole, I'm actually talking about the media and Rangers fans. Out of this fantasy bubble that we're living in, everybody knows the real reason why the ticket allocation was cut. Right, you can laugh about it and all that, right? But Rangers couldn't handle us going there and pumping them all the time, right? And the last straw happened because their fans complained that they wanted more tickets and they didn't want to see like fans being there. You know, everybody knows that is the real reason why. I know it's grown in arms and legs since here and that, but that is the real reason why. Now, we're talking about a renegade club who has cost us our main league sponsor as well, and it's going to cost Scottish football in a whole, really, here. And they've been allowed to shoot through all different directions and get away with it now. Bring the reality in. Hold Rangers responsible for this, and if Rangers are big enough, they'll give back the full allocation, we'll give back the full allocation. That's what will resolve this now. It's not just, there's a few different aspects, because we're talking about the safety concerns, real safety concerns here. Now, Joe Hart's goal was far glass. One of the Celtic members would end up having to get stitches, and if he'd get hit with a bottle, there were Celtic bottle fans hit with bottles as well because they were stuck in that wee corner. Now, in my understanding, Celtic have tried several times to talk to Rangers reasonably about this, and they brought up the safety concerns, and one of the things that Rangers said that they would put a net over it to protect it.
Yep.
And Celtic said no. So Celtic have got every right to not, and it is genuine. It's no made up. It's no any hocus pocus or anything. It's genuine safety concerns. Now, if Rangers are big enough, the way to resolve this is give Celtic back the Broomloan stand and we'll give Rangers back the other tickets as well, and that's the result. Now, as I say, I know it's grown arms and legs, it's complex, it's not just as simple as I'm putting it, but really, at the end of the day, it all comes down to the Rangers fans couldn't handle Celtic going there and tearing them apart all the time. And I was there, and as I say, the last two of our games with the full capacity, I was there, and I love it, and I've been going to football all my time, and I would love nothing there for the two foul allocations to go back. Whether Rangers are willing and brave enough and big enough to admit their rank and go for it, I doubt it, but that is the only way it's really going to ever get resolved.
See, the thing is, though, James, see, even if you're right and Celtic and Rangers can argue about that till the heart's content, I actually raised it to the previous Rangers fan as well, saying, you know, this goes back to the accusations that the Rangers couldn't handle it. Would you not accept, though, that it has now moved on so much, and you've brought some of the other things into it, so in many ways, you've sort of shot down your own argument as well, because it is now, right now, it's now about more than whether Rangers can handle it or not, isn't it? Because it has grown to the point where all these other things do come into play. If you want to come on here and say that started it, that's fine, but we're now kind of beyond that.
We might be beyond it, right? But why not just say, let's get back to the old way? That would resolve it in an instant. It might have grown arms, like I said, it did grow arms and legs, and it might do a lot of different language. But the way to resolve it is just give the two sets of fans back the allocation, and that's it. Plain and simple.
Yeah, and again, Roger, that I think on the outside, sort of loads of people say that. That just seems like further than ever away from reality. And then again, this issue of safety concerns, because again, James is saying that they're real and they're valid, and I wouldn't dream of arguing that point. We don't ever really get the absolute specifics. James mentions one of the examples. I think there was an offer to put netting up, which whether Celtic knocked back or that didn't do it. Now, as for, you know, the stuff thrown at Joe Hart and the Celtic member of staff, that is unthinkably bad, and we can't have that. Having said that, that's maybe a separate issue. That's like a policing, a CCTV ish, all that sort of stuff. You know, whether there are 700 fans in the corner or not, I don't know if that still would have happened if the allocation was different. I just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And
I don't know if the allocation plays a part in that, is what I'm trying to say.
Having lived through those incidents that James speak about, Celtic's worries about safety are valid worries. But some of the other points James makes about, you know, how this all started, etc., etc., it actually illustrates why it's unlikely to get back to the way it was, because the two sides are so entrenched in their own views, Gordon, that no one shows any sign of giving an inch in what they want, far less giving 7,000 tickets to each other. So it disappoints me, it saddens me. It was great, you know, as a neutral, sitting in the media gantry at both grounds when there were 6,000 or 7,000 opposition fans in. It makes for a better spectacle. It makes for a better atmosphere. It makes for a proper game of football that the neutrals and people around the world want to watch. I agree with James to the extent that I would like to see it get back to where it was.
But look, Rangers have sold season tickets in that area, and that's not going to happen. And Rangers hold that up as sort of saying, you know, everyone can have their thoughts on the way the fixture used to go and whether that was the trigger point for it or not. But Rangers say, well, we want to look after our own fans. Yeah. And the Celtic fans won't buy that. And round we go.
Exactly, Gordon. Round and round we go. And you cannot see a solution. I can't see any solution that's going to be satisfactory to all sides.
Okay, thank you to James on 01419511025. I don't think Roger Hanna's really concentrating. I think he's still reeling.
I'm now getting bullied by Sky Sports staff from his and pundits
pundit
and sidekicks
performance. Anyway, we will take more of your calls next.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here. My word, Roger Hanna's having a tough night. He's not lost on Beat the Pundit for about 10 years, but Chris Boyd just phoned in.
That's Stuart's inquiry.
Why?
Why?
Okay.
Because
I think you've paid the price for bad tiebreaker etiquette.
Yes, I'll give you that.
I'll give you that.
I'll give you that.
Right, so what are you worried about?
I'm not worried about anything in the slightest.
The body?
Absolutely no problem in the slightest.
Here's one for you.
I know the small print in his son contract.
Well, that's true. Who do you think ghostwrites his column? Anyway, not to say that that isn't his original thought every week. I wouldn't dare.
Who ghostwrites shoes?
I wouldn't dare.
Who ghostwrites shoes?
Gordon Dale, you know, that makes sense.
Who ghostwrote his answers?
01419 You're not wrong. 1025 I'll tell you what, though, because it's usually you that's getting a hard time in this show. This must feel like weight off your shoulders.
It's Christmas. Loving it.
And to the opposite end of that, I've been actually in some turmoil, some personal turmoil over the last couple of days, and I don't mind sharing it with you because you're my friends. I wasn't sure whether to bring this up because I do feel like I'm going to regret it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got a message from a high profile, well known, relevant, current Scottish Premiership footballer who's had a big impact on the Premiership season so far. A message yesterday to say that they just saw Gordon Dalziel in the gym. And he's looking magnificent for his age.
Well, I mean, he is 82.
It was like a dagger to my heart when I got the message. And I thought, I'm not telling him that because it will just make him unbearable. But do you know what? You get a hard enough time, I'll just throw it
do
out.
Do you know,
there.
I'm voting for him for my player of the year. Let me tell you, whoever I know it who it was. I know who it was. I clocked him out of the side of my eye. No, I'm not. And I'm thinking, that guy's watching my movements here. Mm-hmm. He's obviously wanting to get into the shape of the Dazzlers.
I mean, he even sent Roger that had the... The arm emoji. Message.
You see, I'm actually pleased to hear this because I know you spend a lot of money, Gordon, on that figure. And normally, when Daz's gym work is mentioned in this show, people tend to say he goes in and just talks to people.
He just wanders
around the machines, speaking to people and keeping them off their exercise regimes.
Roger, so if you put a wee bit of effort in, you might just end up like me one day, mate.
Anyway, we're about to speak to Martin, who's a Celtic fan, has thoughts.
Are we getting a teaser?
See, what I was doing there was getting to that, if you'd just let me finish my sentence.
He's currently texting the answer to Boydie and Kenny Miller.
It's almost like I've done this before. What I was going to say is, we're going to speak to Martin. Right. He's a Celtic fan. He's got thoughts on Brendan Rodgers. Let me give you the full-time teaser first.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Tough one tonight. Thank you to Mark Rennie for sending it in. I don't need your answer straight away because we're a bit pushed for time.
Cool.
Since 1990, I want 9 English players who've scored in a Scottish League Cup final. So since 1990, 9 English players have scored in a Scottish League Cup final. So you can put your thinking caps on and we'll get back to you throughout the rest of the show. Martin is a Celtic fan. How are you, Martin?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Gordon. How's yourself?
All good. All good in here. It has been quite the weekend, Martin. I was inundated on Saturday with Celtic fans angry, the whole booing Santa Claus, you know, calling for Brendan Rodgers' head. Are you going that far?
No, not really. You know, I think when the manager came in, looking at it from when the dust has settled a wee bit from the weekend, I think he needed time to assess his squad. He didn't really get that. I don't think a lot of his signings were actually Brendan Rodgers signings either. I think they were probably picked by Wawel and by probably Ange Postecoglou before he left the club. Hence why a lot of them aren't getting played in the squad at the moment. You know, and they're talking about boys like Lager Bielka getting back out after only being at the club a number of months, you know.
I think that's definitely, you know, a lot of fans would agree with that, Martin. I suppose the next question is, though, should Brendan Rodgers be getting more out of the players that he's got?
Well, there is a definite lack of passion in the players that I noticed at Parkhead on Saturday. And the manager said that himself. And he also said that he felt he could have played for another hour and no scored. And that part is a manager's job. He needs to be raising the spirits of the players. He does need to be finding answers to the questions. I'm a wee bit worried that by publicly criticising players, though, in the press, that maybe not by name, but he has said that, you know, we lack quality and stuff. Has he maybe turned a few players' heads and thought, you know, is that affecting the confidence of the squad?
Let's put it to the guys then. It's a good question, Martin. I think Gordon, there's been a lot said about the weekend. What are you make of the scale of the reaction?
It was building up to it. I watched them at Rugby Park. I thought second half they were dreadful, but I'll give all the credit in the world to Kilmarnock. We watched on Saturday again against Hearts. I think the Celtic fans are a bit disappointed with the style of football, first and foremost. You know, some of the games that they've played, the team selections have been a bit baffling for me. He's changed one or two, like Kyogo trying to come in and play a bit deeper. And I think everybody looks at that and thinks that Kyogo is most dangerous playing on the shoulder, making those runs. I think if you look at the players like Taylor, for instance, last year, Kyogo, you go on to even Johnson at full-back, they're not hitting the heights. And when that happens, then the manager comes under a bit of pressure. And you look at the substitutions, for instance, at the weekend, which baffled me as well. Look, Brendan Rodgers is an elite manager, we know that. But he's at home, he's losing 2-0 against Hearts, and he's got one of the most experienced, decorated Celtic players sitting on the bench in James Forrest, a winger that's showed many times that he can come on, he can score goals. He's been a terrific player, and still I think he's got a bit to offer for Celtic. And he brings on Bernabe and puts someone in front of Greg Taylor.
Does that not say more though about that overall picture about recruitment and options and whether it's sending a message? Is that not more about that than just a tactical miscalculation by Brendan Rodgers? Because I know what you're saying about the CV, but a lot of Celtic fans might feel that, well, James Forrest isn't an automatic fix for the weekend either.
But I think you've got a better opportunity in bringing on a natural left winger who has scored in the last 15 seasons for Celtic, scored hat tricks, created goals. If you're losing 2-0 and you're going to bring on an attacking player to get you back in at home, then I think that 99% of the people, whether you can argue about... Now, if you're bringing on someone else, a younger, fresher player that's breaking into the first team, I can totally accept that, but you're bringing on an actual left-back to play one in front when you've got the winger in James Forrest, Scottish international. How many games he played with Celtic, how many goals he scored, how many medals he's won.
Yeah, but James Forrest is, and again...
But he's still got something offered, Gordon.
Yeah, but he's also been part of a lot of disappointing performances.
Yeah, but what
season.
I'm saying is I think you've got a better chance bringing Forrest on than you had Bernabe that position.
I get that, and maybe I'm splitting here, Roger. I just felt like that move was more about, I can't believe Bernabe's coming on there, rather than I can't believe Bernabe's on there instead of Forrest. If that makes any sense, is there a distinction?
There is a distinction. I know exactly what you mean. And I think within minutes, Brendan Rodgers sort of rectified it, if you like, when he took off Greg Taylor and did put Forrest on and move Bernabe back one. I tend to think the way things were on Saturday, it wouldn't really have mattered what Brendan Rodgers did, to be perfectly honest with you. Celtic weren't getting back into that game, and you could see it from a long way out. You know, I've listened to you guys when I've been at other grounds on a Saturday. Maybe it's 0-0 at Celtic Park or 1-1, or Celtic get a goal down and Hugh will say, they're never going to score here. And the boys will say, well, I think they might score here. And pardon me, you just wait for the goal to come, and inevitably the goal would come. There was no stage on Saturday, listening to it from afar, where I got the impression from any of you guys that Celtic were even going to get one goal, far less two or three. And that will be a worry. Daz was at Rugby Park the week before. They were poor. We've heard Celtic supporters, you know, phoning in the Motherwell game, the St Johnson game, days like this, and they're not in a great place just now. And I think if you were to offer, they're 5 points ahead at the minute. Rangers have two games in hand. One of those games in hand will be played before the winter break, played tomorrow night against St Johnson. The gap could go to two. I think if you offered Brendan Rodgers that 2-point gap at the winter break, I think he'd take it and he'll try and get reinforcements.
So what happens, Martin? Does Brendan Rodgers turn this around? Is that all going to be dependent on January? What do you see down the line?
Listen, guys, before I go as well, but on this point, I think Brendan's waiting for January. You know, it's kind of try to hold it together. And he said, a lot of bad work since he's come in as well. He said, a few injuries to the squad. I don't agree with Gordon DL on the James Forrest thing. Don't agree with that at all. I think James Forrest has had his day at Celtic. And I think it's a sad day when you're bringing someone like Green Forest on to change a game when you're 2-0 down.
Do you think it was a better option to bring on a fullback and play him one in front to change a game? I'm not saying that James Forrest would, but what I'm saying is, in my opinion, James Forrest out those two and those positions to turn the game at home, yeah. I think James Forrest would have been the better option. I don't know whether he's having a go at the board.
Martin's kind of saying he doesn't even think it makes that much difference. I think that's the stage it's got to.
It may be, Gordon, but if Brendan Rodgers is making a statement to the board, Brendan Rodgers has got a big January coming. I think that it's a bit too early for Celtic to panic. Yes, they're not hitting the heights. A lot of their players have sort of went backwards. There's a big clearing out to do. Whether he can get players out the door in January, that's another question mark. Everybody thinks, right, okay, we'll get rid of 5-6 players in January. It's not as easy as that, because these guys are on decent money. They're not going to just leave and not pick up their contract. Mm. So there's a big job to be done with Celtic, but I still believe that Brendan Rodgers is the right man for Celtic.
Well, thank you to Martin in the South Side. I suppose, Roger, as you say, that they're both just entwined here. Part of Rangers fans' joy at the weekend came from winning the League Cup, but almost as much joy, it seems, came from Celtic, you know, losing to Hearts. That's just the way the rivalry works. Rangers do have the chance to play one of their games in hand tomorrow against St Johnstone. I don't suppose, no offence to Craig Levein, and he may well prove it wrong, I don't think it goes down on paper as one that Celtic fans will look at and go, well, we never know, you know, this the advantage might come back to us tomorrow night. But I suppose that's what Philippe Clement has to guard against. Going from that kind of emotional high and everything that was involved in Sunday, can you make sure you don't get it wrong tomorrow?
Yeah, and listen, St Johnstone have already gone to Celtic Park and picked up a point this season, so it's not beyond the realms of possibility. I see they've handed a new contract to Chris Kane this afternoon. He was a man who scored a goal and knocked Rangers out of the Scottish Cup at Ibrox, if you remember. Everyone thinks Xander Clark scored the goal. He didn't. It was Chris Kane when Xander Clark came up. So they've got a decent record going there. They're just off the back of a decent home win at the weekend against Hibernian that will raise morale. Craig Levein's gone in there and done a good job. He's gone to Ibrox in the past with teams and got results. So it is not beyond the realms of possibility St Johnstone get something tomorrow night. You just think that the week Rangers have had, Real Betis last week, Aberdeen at Hamden on Sunday, that Rangers will go and get the job done tomorrow.
Well, Philippe Clement knows his Rangers side must now switch their focus back to league action.
We step back in our marathon. So we had these two sprints last week, and we step back in our marathon, and it's about seeing now who's sharp, who's good. Also to see it's five games in really short time. So it's impossible to do the five games with the same players and to make the right choices, and that the players show themselves towards me, towards my staff, that they are ready to play.
So plenty to look forward to tomorrow. More midweek football. Can't remember the last empty midweek we had, but there we go. Right, you two, on this teaser, we're looking for the 9 English players since 1990 to score in a Scottish League Cup final. It's a fairly easy one to kick you off.
I've got a couple. Tavernier must be one.
That's the easy one, yeah.
Right, okay. Hooper?
Nope.
Okay, what about Patrick Roberts?
Forget him.
Scott Sinclair?
Right, you're rubbish at this.
Oh,
so
no. Roger, no one really stitched him up there. Roger's gone, yeah. On you go. On you go. Get your out there.
Paul Gascoigne.
Yes, 96.
I have a feeling Dion Dublin scored in the League Cup final, Celtic against Inferno.
Look at him, desperate to redeem himself after Beat the Pundit. One more guess now.
Boydie just texted me that.
Oh, did he?
And if you're listening, Boydie, when Kilmarnock get beaten 5-1 by Hibs, Rob Jones,
well done. We will get the rest of the answers next. That is two calls in a row that have gone to 5 rings on Make Me a Winner. If you're in the draw, do not let it happen to you, because you could now be the winner of, listen to this, a few days before Christmas, £240,000. but you need to be in the draw. Text yes to 61025. Text for £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. The call's charged at just a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only, and the entries since Christine won on Friday have now rolled over. All the rules for this network competition are online, so if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win the £240,000, and it goes straight into your bank after the call. What is not to like? Text yes to 61025.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. Give us a call. We could probably still squeeze some more in, but depends how fast you two go on the teaser. Thanks to Mark Rennie for sending in. Thanks to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride, for helping us out as well. Can you name, since 1990, so like including, and since 1990, 9 English players have scored in a Scottish League Cup final? You only have to go back to Sunday for one of them, in James Tavernier. Then Roger Hanna was showing off a bit with Rob Jones of Hibs. Dion Dublin, what's he up to now? For Celtic, and Paul Gascoigne, 96 for Rangers.
You think Daz has got a belter?
Well, Paul Elliott. I'll decide.
Header, Paul Elliott.
Yes, well done, Paul Elliott.
What about Mark Walters?
Same game?
I think so.
Yes.
2-1 Rangers.
Okay, 3 to get.
Do you want more just now?
One more guess.
Oh, Roger, go.
Mark Eadley?
No.
No.
That wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't.
Boy did talk to him.
Gordon DL, have you got any more for us?
No, I'm struggling, mate.
I'm trying to think some of the times Aberdeen. Did Sam Cosgrove score that?
No. Actually, that was it. Because I only realised this at the weekend when I was looking up at the previous records. Aberdeen got to a lot of those cup finals and always failed to score in them. Even though some of them were maybe close, it was always a sort of.
The ones against Celtic?
Yeah, the League Cup ones.
The ones against Rangers years and years ago. Yeah, terrific. Yeah. The 3-3 game, 3-2, then Aberdeen 1-2-1. Paul Mason scored twice, I think. That was a great trilogy of League Cup finals at the end of the 80s.
Right. One other little. What else have I got that I've not mentioned to you? Just actually a small, sort of a semi small piece of news, potentially, because we don't know like the full extent of it. But I do think everything's interesting because we're looking ahead to Germany. Roger. Ben Doak requires an operation on a knee injury. Now, some people might think Ben Doak wasn't going to the Euros anyway. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, you don't get immediate vibes from Steve Clarke that it was something he was going to do. But I also think there's a lot of Scotland fans that kind of hope he will and hope that he sneaks in and hope that you get another option. However, he's been told he needs surgery on a torn lateral meniscus, and it's not particularly good news.
I thought it was unlikely Ben Doak would go. But Gordon, you never know.
No.
You know, there is the option that the squads can still go up to 26 players. I'm touching wood this doesn't happen, but if there was an injury to a Che Adams or a Lyndon Dykes or a Lawrence Shankland or anything like that, he would be on a list that he could come in. So any injury to any Scotland player between now and the Euros is not a good thing. This isn't a good thing. Pep Lijnders, who I think is Jurgen Klopp's number two at Anfield, spoke about it today, because I think Ben had a chance of being involved in the Carabao Cup quarter final, home to West Ham tomorrow night. He's played in the early round against Leicester. He's started 3 of the Europa League games so far for Jurgen Klopp. He's signed a new contract extension, long-term contract extension in September. He is highly rated at Liverpool, and we wish him well. We hope it's a speedy recovery. We hope it's a full recovery. We hope he's back in that.
I had that operation this year. 6 weeks, you'll be fine. Back up and running. I was back to full fitness. I'm not good at making the Euros, but I've had that operation this season, yeah.
Okay, his sounds more serious than yours.
Mine was a tear.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, I can't bow to your superior knee knowledge then. There you are. Ben Doak's going to the Euros because Gordon DL had the same operation.
He'll be back, no problem.
Again, at the end of the show always becomes a bit of a whistle-stop tour of some of the stories that we haven't got round to. This was actually last night, but it was after we went off, Roger. And I know Gordon feels very passionately about these things, although he focuses mainly on the on-field events at Fir Park, that Motherwell chairman Jim McMahon is going to step down. It was only an interim chief executive in Derek Weir after Alan Burrows left, but he's going to step down as well, and they'll restart the hunt for a new chief exec and presumably a new chairman. So obviously, right as it stands today, that's either, you know, an exciting time for potential change, or it's a worry about uncertainty, and you don't really know for sure. But one thing is for certain, that's a big change.
Well, I hope you've got the statement there, because sometimes the devil is in the detail and you need to read into it. The thing that leapt out at me when I saw that last night, Gordon, was right at the bottom of Jim McMahon's quotes, where he spoke about how difficult it was to provide the investment into the football club that the manager needs to keep Motherwell in the Premiership and at the level they've been punching at for the last 30 or 40 years. And he has said that there will be an announcement coming up in the short to medium term where they will reveal details of how they're going to subsidise Stuart Kettlewell in the football department. So I don't know whether there's a rich benefactor just around the corner, whether it's money coming from the Well Society, whether Gordon DL's opened the post office savings account.
I'm just round the corner.
Cash in that pension?
Oh, there's plenty.
But that is what Motherwell fans will be clinging on to, the hope that there is money coming into the football club that will keep Motherwell where they have become accustomed to be, Gordon, in your lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff that jumps out, Gordon, that maybe would surprise people, because you always look at similar sized clubs. I think Kilmarnock kind of jump out at you as being similar sized. There's a bit, you know, about, you know, in the news reports coming out that Motherwell spent £6 million more on staff costs than Kilmarnock over the first six seasons of fan ownership.
It's incredible.
Yeah, so
£6 million, incredible. Yeah, it is. It's a bit of, it's worrying times off the pitch and on it. And obviously the next two games has got to be vital as well, Gordon, because they're certainly dropping down that league. They're dropping into that danger zone. In fact, they're in the danger zone. Let's not be kidded here. I said earlier in the show, 5 points out of 42. They've got Rangers at Fir Park on Sunday, and then they're away to Aberdeen. No easy fixtures whatsoever. So a bit concerning.
Right, before we finish, I told you this last night, this is exciting, this for the next couple of weeks, because Clyde One celebrates its first 50 years on Hogmanay, and there's going to be special programming on around that time to mark the birthday. But on the run-up to our big birthday, we thought we'd make it about football, obviously, here on Super Scoreboard, and celebrate some of the greatest moments from Scottish football in that time, in the 50 years. Mark Wilson gave us Celtic getting to Seville last night. It's just the pundit's own opinion. It's not a definitive list. It's not even an order. But we thought we would come up with 10 for you over the next series of nights. And Gordon DL, your time will come. Roger Hannah, you are in the hot seat. The last 50 years, what are you going for?
What are we going for? I first fell in love with football, if you like, the 78 World Cup. Not a great time for Scotland supporters. I hope the people who fall in love with Scotland Euro 2024 have better fortune than a 1-1 draw with Iran and a 3-1 defeat to Peru. The undoubted highlight, the win over the Dutch and that goal by Archie Gemmell, which was set to music many years later. It appeared in Train Spotting many years later with Archie McPherson's commentary. As one of the greatest goals, not just in Scottish football history, but in World Cup history. It was a thing of beauty, and I'm trying to work it out now, 45 years on?
Certainly within the last 50 then. Take that.
One of the greatest ever. Yeah.
What's so special
about it? One World Cup, and it's a goal that I think every Scottish fan that watched that World Cup and even now watches Scotland will remember, because it's probably one of the greatest goals that Scotland ever scored. It was absolutely unbelievable from Archie Gemmell.
What's great about this list is you'll all get the chance. And Mark went back to 2003. Some might go, I don't know, might even go sort of David Marshall.
Mark Wilson went back to the year Rangers won the treble.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that. I don't know, some pundits might only go back a couple of years. You've gone back about as far as you can within the 50 years, but that kind of image, it's endured, hasn't it? That stood the test of time, which maybe speaks volumes.
A classic Scotland kit as well, Gordon.
That's true. In a day as well where things weren't as widely shared. You know, can you imagine a moment like that now?
Yeah.
Would it play out?
Can you imagine John McGinn scores that goal against Germany on June 14 in the Allianz Arena, Munich? It will change Scottish football forever. Go on, John.
You're going to get me off the ceiling for the next 6 week shows, I think, after that, if that happens. But there we go. Good choice, Roger Hanna. Archie Gemmell's goal for Scotland. Roger Hanna's top Scottish football moment in the last 50 years. Mark Wilson went Celtic getting to Seville. We'll put another pundit on the spot tomorrow night and we'll come up with a top 10. Like I say, it's their own take, their own opinion. And I say top 10, it's not necessarily in order. It's just a bit of fun to mark this fine institution turning 50.
I've got a lot of good memories.
Just in general, or
football?
No.
I wonder what he's going to come up with. It might be you on Thursday, actually. In fact, it probably will be you on Thursday because Wilson's done his.
I'll get a good one out there.
Right, okay, let's finish off with the teaser then. Can you name, since 1999, Englishmen who've scored in a Scottish League Cup final? Mark Walters, Paul Elliott, Paul Gascoigne, Dion Dublin, Rob Jones, James Tavernier.
Scottish football legends. Kenny Dalglish's only trophy as Celtic manager. Tommy Johnson scored for Celtic.
Good shout.
Beat Aberdeen.
Has he not been honoured tonight as well?
Dalglish?
Kenny Dalglish.
Yes.
Is that sports personality? Is that tonight?
Yeah, that's tonight,
You two overlooked for the Special Achievement Award. Cruel. Right, two more. Quick.
Can you get two more?
More. Ooh. We're moving towards more recently. You don't get any, no?
More recent times. Trying to think now.
Ooh.
We might need clues. The music's playing, Gordon.
St Mirren's famous day. Who got the goals?
Thompson.
Uh-huh.
Goncalves.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Connor Newton.
Connor
scored.
Newton.
Yes,
well
he did.
Done. Loan from Newcastle. What about March 2016? Who would that be?
Was that, that wasn't Ross County, was it?
Yeah.
Did Andy Davis score?
No, but who did they beat? It's the problem.
They beat Hibs.
So this is the hardest one, all things considered.
They beat Hibs in the final. Uh-huh. Alex Schalk, who's playing for Urawa Red Diamonds against Manchester City on the telly tonight. The Hibs goal scorer of that day.
Come on, Roger.
Was it something like Chris Dagnall, was it?
Liam Fontaine.
Oh, of course.
We are back tomorrow at 6. Have a good night.